trouble seems to rain on my dreams. It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs on the windshield, cause you're showing me.
It is a beautiful day, and we are about to get our worship on. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to worship right now with tithes and offerings. So if, as we prepare for that, we'll ask one of the guys to come up and say the blessing, and then we will take the offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for letting us come to your house to worship you, Father. Thank you, God, for this beautiful day you've given us. We pray, God, Lord, you'd be with these men coming up to sing today, Father. You would use them to spread your message, Father. We pray, God, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they would come forth today and they would accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, God, for this blessing. We ask you, please bless it, this offering, Lord. And we ask that it be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning, and truly we did come, and we have come this morning to worship. Thank you, Mackenzie, for singing that song. You did a fantastic job. I wish I was that cute and everybody smiled at me like that. Somebody come up to me and said, "You're a celebrity." I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, your picture's on the sign out here." I said, "That guy looks a lot older than me, okay?" I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Just a couple of announcements, and then we're going to get into the service. Let's remember Celebrate Recovery Monday nights. I want to continue to announce that and promote that ministry. Remember those workers that are involved with that ministry. If you know somebody that could benefit from it, please invite them to come. Bible school coming up June the 5th through the 10th, 6:30 to 9. We've got a table out here with some T-shirts. You can go ahead and register. We're going to have a kickoff day June the 4th, 5 p.m. here at the church. We're going to have all kind of fun things folks to do, young folks and old folks alike. We're going to have a booth that we're going to put all the deacons in and let y'all throw softballs at them, see if you can dunk them. I say all the deacons. Some of them say, not me. Some of them. But Bible school's coming up. Let's be in prayer for Bible school. Last year, we had several people, young people, come to know the Lord during our Bible school. And it's a great time of fellowship also for our church, to bring our church together. And I'm sure this whole stage will be beautifully decorated. We're excited to see what it's going to look like this year. I was amazed last year at what they were able to do. Also, the bottle drive. From Mother's Day to Father's Day, we have the bottle drive. Now, I said this last week, and I got kind of excited. It just comes out sometimes. If you'll give money to the Humane Society, and I'm going to say it again, you won't support a bottle drive, there's something wrong between you and God. Okay? I mean, this is about keeping babies from being aborted. It's about ministering to families to help them come to know Christ. If we aren't the hands and the feet of Jesus, who is going to be? I mean, we're living in a world today that doesn't want Jesus, right? We see it every day. This is an opportunity for you to say that Planned Parenthood is not the only offering for somebody that needs some help. Amen? So if you hadn't got your baby bottle, pick up one and take it home with you, okay? Just put your change in it. You'll have it filled up 2 weeks. Now, I got some stuff up here. We're starting to collect. We'll be ready for the next yard sale. Some of y'all will start claiming this stuff, but I got some nice little stuff up here if anybody wants to claim that. We got an announcement. I'm going to ask Brother Bruce if you would come on up. Brother Bruce has got some things he wants to share with you about a ministry.
Good morning, church. As Thomas and Scott stand up, about 4 months ago, guys, was it? God called us down to the streets of Atlanta, and we've been ministering every Tuesday night, providing meals and meeting. Well, we've seen it all. Yeah. There's no other way to put it. We've seen it all. 2 weeks ago, the parking lot that we went to on Peachtree and Trinity, they met us there and told us we couldn't come anymore. Michael's ministry, as it's called, started with Preston and William and I going out and basically driving around looking for homeless people, giving them a meal. God called us to do it. We got a phone call Thursday, a week ago. God provided us a building free of charge to preach, to feed. The first service was Tuesday night, which was bad because I didn't get to go. But I want to get Thomas to just say a couple of words about what they experienced on Tuesday night. And I want everybody that's involved with the ministry, real quick, if you could, just to stand. If you went, donated, stand. See one of these people if you're interested in going or donating. We need care packs, snacks, and just see one of them, Thomas.
It'll change your life when you meet people that are from the streets. They're just like you and I. They've just been through a lot rougher times than we have, and we've had so many opportunities to minister to different ones and seen some that their lives are changed, and some that just hated us and didn't want to be there, and they seen us pray with somebody, then they asked, and then the Lord changed their heart. And I had one come up after I shared the message Tuesday night, come up to me and pray. He said he feels like he needs to do that. He feels he needs to get rid of some baggage first. And that we just need to pray for him. His name is Brandon. Him and his wife are struggling. They're on the street. And a marriage is tough enough living comfort. But when you live on the streets, it's a whole lot different world out there. And we just thank you for the opportunity you allowed us and provided us to share with these precious people. Because we really have a heart for them. We love them. And you can ask any of us that come. All of us that serve, I mean, just something happens every week that just blesses your heart. So y'all just continue praying for our ministry, please.
Thank y'all. And again, if you want to help out, just see one of the people that stood up. If you want to go with us, the House of Luke is where we've had the opportunity to meet. We meet on Tuesday nights there at about 6:30. Woodstock First uses the building on Thursday nights. Be in prayer for them because they're actually, I got a text on Thursday on my way back into town. They have the opportunity to buy a housing area that they're wanting to convert, and the investors with that group are thinking about doing that to provide shelter. There's not a lot of shelters for women. Most of the ones are for men. So just be in prayer for Luke and the guys that run that place. And thank you guys, and if you can help out, just be in prayer. Thanks.
I want to ask Miss Tracy if she would to come up. She's got an announcement. Now, while she's coming, we had a meeting this morning, planning committee meeting, and we're going to continue to meet every 2 weeks at 8 o'clock, making some decisions about where we're going, making decisions about the church.
Okay, good morning. I just wanted you guys to save a date for the church. June 18th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're having picture day. We are trying to get a church directory together, and so we would love for you just to stop in, get your family's picture made so we can put it in our directory and get that going. So June 18th from 10 to 3, just drop in anytime you're available. Thank you.
One more thing. Let's be in prayer for our youth going to summer camp. We got Bible school that Friday. We're leaving to go to summer camp for the weekend. We've got 43 going. And we want to be in prayer for them that God would work in their lives and in our lives. You know, doesn't matter what the world is doing, God's still alive. He's still on the throne. He's on the move, and he's on the move in this church. And if you know somebody that needs to know him, now is the time to get them into the house of God. Now is the time. Amen. Thank you for coming. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Brother Keith, and we're going to get these singers up here. I'm anxious. Amen.
One quick announcement. Am I on? We will not have choir practice this afternoon. I'm leaving to go out of town for vacation this week, much needed. So we will not have it this week, but we will start back next week. So this is a great time if you've ever wanted to be a member of the choir. Come up next Sunday. We'll have some new music and lots of good things happening. I am one of the most blessed ministers of music in the whole universe because you know what? I never have to worry about, will there be anybody there or will they respond to singers when they come in? I have a singer's heart. I've been singing all my life and I've gone to places where I thought, Lord, help me get through this. But I never have to worry about that. One of my dearest... Oh, whoa. Pastor, we got one other thing we need to do right quick, and then we're going to turn these guys loose. Graduation. How many old men does it take to get something done around here?
We do have one more thing we want to do. Sorry. We have several graduates in the house this morning, and we want to acknowledge them and recognize them, and we're proud of them. We got a lot of youth in years to come. We expect to have, obviously, a lot more come up. But this morning, we want to acknowledge and recognize Miss Molly Edgar as she's graduating from Praise Tabernacle this year. Also, we have Tyler Runyon. Tyler's also graduating from Praise, and Tyler is the salutatorian this year. So he's getting... We have one more graduate. This graduate is actually graduating from college, Miss Emily Costley.
All right, you have your hands all warmed up. I want you to give a Hiram First Baptist welcome to the new Dove Brothers. Make them welcome this morning.
Tell was there. That was a special night. That means a lot to me. Matter of fact, when we sang this song in the recording studio, I don't normally sing with my eyes closed. I get after people for doing that, but I'm in another world this morning. When we recorded that song that we just sang, when it got to that line, "and tell my daddy too," I fell apart. Since you, I mean, it's your fault, you making me do this. And I carry on so much, they didn't know if I was cutting up or what. In a recording studio, there are booths that you stand in, and you're in there by yourself, and you can see the person over there, but you're not standing together like this. And when we got to that line, I just lost it. That's all I thought about, what you just said. And I just stood there, and I just turned my hands up. And then I got down on my knees and said, "just lay it on me, Lord, just pour it on me." They just kept singing. When it stopped, for 5 minutes, it was just shh. And every once in a while, you hear somebody go, "there's nothing wrong with that." Sing that chorus one more time, guys.
"Then we'll talk in a van. How Jesus paid
Keep listening. stand for the final call that will sound for me and you.
All right, say it now.
Oh, brother, won't you hold on? Hold on. Hold on just a little longer. Help's on the way. I can lean and get stronger. Hold on. Hold on. Sang some old lines like Jesus said. All the boys and that awake the dead. Before you know it, we'll already be gone. Friend, just hold on. I said, friend, just hold on. Trumpets gonna sound that awake the dead. Before you know it, we'll already be gone. Friend, just hold on. Just hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. McCray Dove.
Good to be with you this morning. And I stood out there, walked in and out the door, and I kept seeing cars pull up. And you can testify this. I looked at him and I said, is it like this every Sunday? And he said, pretty much.
Amen.
You know, it's happening over here, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Yes, it is. And at times we sing in a lot of churches across the country on Sunday morning, and we sitting there praying some cars would pull up. This time I was praying that it had a place big enough to hold the car. So that's a great testimony there. But it is so good to be with you, and I've been blessed to be able to write a few songs down the road. The song Hold On, we just did for you. Lord bless me. It was the number one song. First number one song that I've ever written. Yeah. And the way it's looking. It's going to be my only number one song. I'm going to throw these guys a curve. There's a song that God gave me to write probably about almost 15 years ago. And I'll never forget when I began to write this song. I questioned the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, why am I writing a song like this? A number of you write from experience things in life. And at that time, the Dove Brothers, we were a quartet, and we were just voted the number one quartet in gospel music, and all this, everything was just going along just right. About 5 years ago, and I thought about this morning. God gave me that song because he knew that I was going to have to lean on it. That I was going to have something that I could go back to, sing, repeat, and live. And I don't know, we recorded this
CD out there. Wesley, normally you do a different song in this spot, but I just feel, and I'll feed you the words. We've only probably done it maybe one time, but I just feel like somebody needs to hear this song. I don't know what you're facing in your life. You may be facing a situation like I did. I went completely broke. My wife and family, we had to depend on God to get through it, no doubt. Didn't know what we were going to do. Maybe a different situation in your life. And you see a hill that you've got to climb. But can I give you some news? If you'll turn it over to the Lord, you'll find out to Him it's just another hill. Because He conquered a hill called Mount Calvary, friend. I want you to listen to the words of that message to you this morning.
I remember when I first heard the news. I thought my life was almost through. Tears fill my eyes, I recall the pain inside, but I knew it was a hill I had climbed. The road I had to walk was long. And it looked like my world would fall apart. Then I fell down on my knees and cried, "Dear Lord, please hear my plea." And these are the words He spoke to my heart. I carry stripes on my back down a long, long road and up Calvary's hill, and it was there for you and the world that my blood was spilled. So don't you worry, I can carry you. It's all a part of my will. So hold my hand, child. It's just another year. So if you're facing circumstances, remember God.
Songs and this song right here, let's do I'll Be Ready. Now quit talking. Are you geared up over there? back door to heaven. Here's another song that Cray wrote. And then we'll sit down and come back and sing one more before the sermon. Do that fancy introduction. I'm going to watch it so I don't miss it.
That's pretty good. Again. All right, here we go.
There's no back door to heaven.
Don't go anywhere. You're going to say one more song for us. You know, when Tony came in the door this morning, he said, "We are going to get to hear your pastor preach." I said, "Oh, yes." Because he didn't get to preach last Sunday. And if we don't let him preach this Sunday, he's either going to bust or we will never get out of here next Sunday morning. So we're going to take just a minute. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. These guys came just, they were in town, needed a place this morning. And I'm so thankful that they had the confidence in us to want to come to Hiram First Baptist. So I want the ushers to come forward. I want you to show them how much you appreciate them being here this morning as we take this offering. And they're going to sing for it. They're going to come back and sing another song. And then Brother Joe will come with a message this morning. So guys, if you'll come forward. Father, we thank you this morning for all your many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you most of all that you died on the cross. And we thank you that you sent these men here this morning and that the blessing that they are to us. Lord, I pray that we will bless them at this time as we take this offering. And that this offering will be used to carry them down the road to spread the gospel through music. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
He started over. to his image, and he wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall, oh, and my vessel breaks, he just picks up all the broken pieces. He does not throw the clay away. Over and over, he holds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay.
We're blessed, amen?
Amen?
You know, people go pay a lot of money to hear a singer sing. And we get to come here every Sunday. And God's in this place. We've had some really good singers. And folks, we got a lot of really good singers in this church. You know, I wonder, and I was sitting there thinking about this singing group. I wonder if when y'all go to be with the Lord, if people going to make as big a deal about it as they did when Prince left. Y'all ever wonder about that stuff? There's a verse of scripture over in Corinthians, and I heard a preacher read this verse, and he talked about how he went to the Biltmore house, and he said he went into the Biltmore house, and he said he saw all the greatness and how big it was and the 60-something rooms, and he said he looked at the grounds, and he said he drove from there just down the street in Asheville, North Carolina, to the birthplace of Vance Havner. Said he looked through the windows in a little shack, and inside there was an old broken down lawnmower and an old wash tub. And the pieces were broken, and you know, all the beauty that was in the splendor of that place where he left the Biltmore Estates. And he said, I wonder how many people realize how great a preacher was raised right here in this little shack. And he said, as he stand there and walked around, just him talking to the Lord, he said this verse of scripture came to him. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Folks, there's a whole lot of pastors and little churches that never were recognized on this world and this earth. But they've got a place in heaven that's special. And they're going to be there before the Lord. And I guarantee you they're going to receive their reward. That's why a lot of times what we think is going to be high and lifted up may not be exactly what you think. We may get to heaven. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but there may be some pastor of a little church of 30, and he's going to have all these pastors of these big churches. Y'all do this. You get the door. It's about him.
Amen.
And I appreciate the singing because I could tell it's about him. Amen? If you got your Bible, I'll move as quickly as I can this morning, but I want to preach on this subject, the wrong side of history. I read something this week that just stirred in my heart, and the more I thought about it, the greater it became inside of me. And I tell you, sometimes this is the way it works. I have to just about quit looking at it or quit studying or we'd never get out of here. But I want to read some scripture in Ephesians chapter number 5, and I want to give you some verses. And this is what I want you to think about as we read these verses. We need to understand what kind of day and time that we're living in. Remember in the book of Esther, where Mordecai spoke to Esther, and he said, just perhaps you were born and you are here for such a time as this. Do you know, when we come into this house and we worship, we shouldn't take for granted the movement of the Spirit of God. Because it could be just perhaps that God has allowed Hiram First Baptist Church to be here for such a time as this. So that we can stand, so that we can be an example to a world that's drifting farther and farther away from God of what it means to stand and believe and to trust and to live according to the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. That's what we used to be. But now ye are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now listen to this 12th verse. And think about all the things that are going on in America today. It says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then our verses says, see then that you walk circumspectly or cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, there was a comment that was recently made regarding the politically correct culture, and the statement was this: you don't want to end up on the wrong side of history. And you can just about see them on the liberal news stations as they look at one another and smile, and they're proud of themselves because of the changes and all the agenda that are being pushed, and they say, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. The context of that statement was referencing the rise in societal tolerance of and the intent of avoiding the slightest hint of discrimination toward the LGBT community. Well, the LGBT community is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Now, I don't know about you, but I never thought it'd be a time that I'd have to stand in front of the bathroom when my little girl went in there to keep a man from following her in. And even today, in the times that we're living in, when you go to the grocery store or you go to any store, and I've got a 10-year-old son, he doesn't go by himself because it's been open, the door's been open for everything in the world the scripture says it's a shame even to speak of the things that are done of them in secret. But they say, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. See, but the challenge was to get on board. Let's just get on board. They call it progressivism. The Bible calls it ungodly. Let's get on board with the trends and the increasing acceptance of these specific lifestyles as they become more the norm rather than the exception. But I want to challenge you, what is really the right side of history? See, you can believe, you can go outside, and this is how bad it is. You can look up and you can say, well, the sky's not blue. The sky's red. Well, folks, we know the sky's blue. We've heard it all our lives. You see, since I was a little boy, the sky's been blue. But someone may decide, I think the sky's red. I want to tell you something. That does not make it red. You know, the word fetus, we like adopting these Latin words. People say, well, a fetus is not a living human being. Well, it is. Give you a lot of scripture for that, but I don't have time. I've got to move. Fetus is Latin. You know what it means? Unborn baby. Latin's one of the only languages that actually was at one time a prevalent language. It's no longer spoken in the world today, but we like to pull those words to hide things. Well, folks, a fetus is an unborn baby. It lives, it's alive. They have fingerprints. When their feet are the size of your fingernail, they have fingerprints. You can say, well, the earth simply created itself in a huge explosion. People want to believe that. You know why they want to believe it? Because the idea of God interferes with our lifestyle. Because if God is the creator and this Bible is true, then what this Bible says is true about them. You can believe that we came from Mars. People do. You know, the list goes on about what people can believe and what people can accept. But that doesn't make it true. Now, I want to give you just a few examples of the wrong side of history. If we go back and we begin to read through the Word of God, and we see that God, Scripture says that God created man in the beginning, and He created them, male and female created He them. And He created a help that was meet, that was suitable for Adam, and He brought him to him. And man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and God saw that man multiplied and he prospered. And then He saw that every deed that man did was evil. But the scripture says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because of God's grace, God came to Noah and He spoke to him. And He says, of your people and your descendants, I'm going to create a nation that will follow me. But you know that people walked by when He built that ark and they mocked Him. And they made fun of Him and they laughed at Him. And they said, well, you know, He's a crazy man. He's just not up with the times. There's something wrong with Him. But I want to tell you, when the water began to fall from the sky, and when it began to rain, and it began to raise, and that boat began to bump a little bit as it began to move, people began to realize they were on the wrong side of history because God's word was preached, and they didn't believe it, and they didn't receive it. I want to tell you today, people are on the wrong side of history. A lot of people just don't want to hear this. They say, well, God's love and God loves everybody. Folks, we just read it in Ephesians. It says the wrath of God abides on them. You go into the book of Revelation, we're going to be there in a minute. It talks about it over and over about what's going to happen. If you look at Noah and the ark, I believe you'll understand if you could go back and interview those people, they'd recognize they were on the wrong side because they were on the outside. And when God shut the door, He shut them in. Now, folks, I don't know about you. I'd rather be on the inside. Tell you another story about being on the wrong side of history. It's in Genesis chapter number 19. In Genesis chapter number 19, there were two angels that came walking up on a city. And as they looked over the hill, they had been sent by God, and they looked down and they saw the city of Sodom and Gomorrah in the valley. And Lot beheld them afar off coming. And when he saw them coming, he knew because of what was in him who they were, that they were sent by God. And he began to speak to them, and they were going to abide in the streets all night. But he continued bidding them until they came, and they went into his house, and they dwelt in his house. And that night, as the sun went down, the men of the city encircled Lot's house. The scripture says that they were young men and they were old men. And when they came to the house, they began to beat upon the walls and upon the door. And they said, "Where are the men that came into you this night? Send them out to us that we may know them." And Lot went outside the door and he shut the door. Folks, we're not judging. God's the judge. I'm just a man that believes that this word is still true. They said, "Who sent you here to judge us? We're going to deal with you worse than them." And they came upon Lot and they pressed upon the door to break the door down to come in. And the angels opened the door and they stepped out toward them and they smote the entire group with blindness. And they wearied themselves to find the door. And the angels, they told Lot, he said, "Do you have anybody here besides your daughters and your son-in-law?" And he said, you know, he went to his sons-in-law and he began to tell them. You know what he told them? He said, "God's going to judge this place because of its wickedness. God's going to judge this city." But the scripture says when he spoke to them that he appeared as one that mocked unto them. You know what they say about preaching like mine? And this is not in the world. This is in the church today. We don't want that anymore. We don't need that anymore. You can't build churches with it anymore. The scripture says that if judgment first began at the house of God, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? That's why America is in the shape it's in today, is we've turned our back on God in the church house. You know, Lot couldn't get his sons-in-law to go, so he got his girls. And he got his wife. Then he wanted to argue with God a little bit. But they got out and they were going as they went away. And Lot, I could just see them going. And the Lord said, "Don't look back." Lot's wife, she turned and she looked back. Scripture says she became a pillar of salt. If you go over to the 24th and the 25th verse, it says, "The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overflew through the cities and the plain and all the inhabitants and destroyed everything that grew upon the ground." Now, folks, that's what the Word of God says. We've heard these songs this morning. They sang about God's grace. They sang about help. They sang about heaven. And I want to tell you, we need all those things. We need God to help us when we're in trouble. But folks, this is what the Word of God says. If you're against God, you're on the wrong side of history. You know, if you were able to go back and interview some of those people, they probably would have said, "I wish we'd have went out. Wish we'd have listened to what Lot said. Wish we had done so wickedly." But they ended up on the wrong side of history. You go a little farther and you see where the children of Israel are coming out of the land of Egypt. And they're led by a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they're over there camped next to the Red Sea. And God puts a big fog, a cloud between them and the army that's behind them. And they could hear them talking over there. And the children of Israel were no doubt afraid. But God was protecting them from their enemies. The next morning when that sea began to depart and they walked across on dry ground and they got to the other side, old Pharaoh, he broke loose with the chariots and here they come and they're getting into that Red Sea and the scripture says that God made the wheels to run off the chariots. They thought they could catch them. They thought they could bring them back. But I want you to know when they got out in the midst of that, God let those waters come back. And those wheels were run off of those chariots. And those men that had strength and power and greatness, they realized they were on the wrong side of history because they went against God. In Matthew chapter number 27, I wouldn't want to be in this place. But in verse number 24, it tells about how the Jews found themselves on the wrong side of history because they crucified Jesus. It says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Well, that didn't relieve him of all responsibility. But the next line is what really sticks out to me. Said, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I tell you what I want my children to know. I want them to know Jesus. Amen. I want them to know that he's an all-powerful, all-knowing God, that he changes not. And he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. But could you imagine the Jews of that day standing? And they said, all the people said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. 70 A.D., Jerusalem was destroyed. The people were scattered and they lived all over the world. And up until 1948, they had no place to call home. What did they say? Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Folks, don't think that America is so great that we can stand without God. This country is here because God allowed it to be here. And what America has decided, that if we're going to be on the right side of history, we're going to be on the side that God and the Bible is not on. They're turning their backs on the reason they exist. The Jews found themselves on the wrong side of history. And one day they're going to know that. The Bible tells us that. A little farther in the book of Acts, there's a man named Stephen. And all he's doing is proclaiming the same truth from the Word of God. And he begins to take the Old Testament prophecies and as he shares them with the people and they hear them, they're convicted to the heart and they cover their ears and they run upon him. Scripture says in Acts chapter 7, 57 and 58, says they cried with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they ran upon him with one accord. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Amen. You know that the liberal world we're living in today, they say that we're the evil ones. They say that we're the problem. And they've turned their back on God and they say everything. Folks, I want to be honest with you. I can't comprehend a lot of what's going on today. They stoned Stephen. And all he did was look up. And he cried out to God. Now, folks, Stephen went to sleep. And he's in heaven right now. With a lot of my loved ones and your loved ones. And I believe with all my heart we're going to see them if we're saved. Amen. But those people, when they stopped their ears and they ran upon Stephen, they were on the wrong side of history. You know, you stop and look at the world that we're living in today, and as I begin to think about this scripture, there's a place over in the book of Luke that came to my heart and my mind, and these are the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus said as he was being, after he had been beaten cruelly, and after he had carried the cross till he couldn't carry it no more, and he stumbled and he fell, and they placed the cross on Simon the Cyrenian's back. And the people were standing and there was a great company of people, the scripture says, in the 27th verse, which bewailed and lamented him. They cried. That's my Jesus. And Jesus looked at them and he said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And then he says, for if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And here's what I see in that. Jesus was in their presence. Very presence, performing miracles, and the hand of God was upon him. And I want to tell you something, he was the most anointed preacher to ever preach. When I stand and preach, I cry out for the Holy Spirit to fall on me. Everywhere he went, it exuded from him. and as they were in his presence. But it wasn't enough. And he says, if they do these things in this day, seeing the miracles in the presence of the Son of God, what are they going to do in your day? And when I look at what's going on in the world today, and I'm reminded of scriptures, they say, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And then it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And I want to tell you, church, you want to be on the right side of history, which means you want to stand with God. What about in our day? I studied something in school called the Enlightenment. Some of you probably studied that. Here's what I don't understand. Why did they call it the Enlightenment? I call it the great falling away. See, because the Enlightenment, there's three primary characteristics. One is questioning authority. Two is rejection of known truth. And three is declaring that God is dead. Folks, God's not dead. He's just merciful. I would hate to be the one that went into a city and preached, "Get out. Because fire and brimstone's coming tomorrow." I'd hate to be the one to walk through and say, "Preach, you need to get in this boat. Because everybody that's not in, the water's going to come." Yeah. See, I've been preaching that Jesus is coming. And it's getting to where it's less and less popular a message. See, in our day, prayer's taken out of schools. And we call it a victory. We call it tolerance when we put every religion in the world into a bag and we shake it and we say they're all the same. Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. Amen. Scripture says there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus. He has no equal. There's not a triangle pyramid that you can just climb your way to heaven. You'll come through Jesus Christ or you won't go. Amen. What about in our day? Prayer's taken out of schools. Remember over in Alabama, we're excited. We're going to get the Ten Commandments off the courthouse. And you go to the next place and they say, "Oh, we've already done that." Yeah. And then we go through what's called Roe v. Wade or abortion rights. And we gloat and we're excited because we call it civil liberties. And in the meanwhile, millions of babies have lost their lives. You know, sometimes I think, and the devil tries to tell me, "Well, your preaching is just too strong." Let me tell you something. I got a flyer right there in my Bible case that talks about abortion. And the pictures are so graphic that I would not want to put them right here. I would not want to paint it out for you exactly what happens during a salt saline-based abortion. Would not want to tell you what happens during a suction-based abortion. Would not even want to begin to explain to you how they do a third trimester abortion with a baby that's 9 months old that could live on its own and how they take its life. And we think that we're making progress. We're going straight to hell because we've turned our backs on God. And then we have promotions of these lifestyles that are contrary to the Word of God. Now here I want to tell you something. You can live any way you want to. God's not going to force you to serve Him. For me, what upsets me so much is that they're not satisfied outside those doors, folks. They want to come in these doors and tell us what we can preach. They want to tell you what you can believe. They want to tell you what you got your kids got to learn in school. And then some of it, we really honestly, and I'm going to be honest, I grew up in church my whole life. My dad was a preacher. And I knew God called me to preach, but I never thought we'd be dealing with what we're dealing with. Amen. When you have pagan leadership and the rejection of the truth of the Word of God, folks, it does not change the Word of God. I heard this week, in our day, the wrong side of history, a major retail chain came out and posted that they're going to take the Bible off the shelves. So we don't want the Bible in our stores, and we don't want those people in our stores. A lot of you know who it is. If you know who it is, quit shopping there.
Amen.
I'll tell you all that while. Target.
Amen. Amen.
They had a video of a lady walking through the store, and she was saying that her little girls wasn't going in the bathroom by herself.
Amen.
They posted it and put it up, and they said, "We're going to take the Bible down." Folks, they're not the only one. You know, what troubles me in my heart is, you know, when we go back and read what Jesus said, he said, "Weep for, not for me, but for your children." And it's when we begin to see what's going on, folks, the right side of history is standing with God. Now, what about history in the making? You know, tonight we're going to have a one, and Lord willing, we'll have a Bible study. And we'll probably talk about prophecies. I think there are over 60 that we can look at about Christ being fulfilled. But do you know that there are prophecies in the Word of God that have not yet been fulfilled? It's going to be history in the making. When we look into the Word of God and we understand, the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 9, it says, "Wherefore we labor, though whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Then it says this, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." A great day. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7 says, "I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." I begin to look through the book of Revelation, and I thought, you know, this is a book of prophecy. It's telling us what's going to happen. I found 7 times the words that the wrath of God was coming. You see, the truth is, God's not politically correct. And I still believe that the Word of God is the ultimate authority. We can't vote it down. We can't say that it's unconstitutional. We can't say that it's old-fashioned. It is the ultimate authority.
Amen.
I want to read one more place, and I'm going to bring us to a close, but I want to share this with you, because history is going to be made. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of history when history is made. In Matthew 24, in verse number 36, it says, "But that day and hour knoweth no man." Talking about when the Lord's going to return. Says, "No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." We talked about that. Well, Scripture says in those days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, going on about their lives until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Says, "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, and so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Says, "Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left." Says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Here's how history is going to be made. Jesus is going to come back like he said. And when he does, those that are saved, those that know him, those that are looking for him, we're going to go and be with him. Now, they can mock us. They can make fun of us. They can say today we're on the wrong side of history. But I want to tell you, when history's made, who's going to be on the wrong side of history? It's those that are looking around saying, where'd everybody go? I can already tell you, because people believe anything in the day and time we're living in, they're going to come up with some excuse. They're going to say, oh, they'll come up with something. The aliens took them away. There's a virus. Whatever. But they're going to be on the wrong side of history. I don't want to be on the wrong side of history. If you do not want to be on the wrong side of history, you continue in prayer. Witness boldly. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, as Scripture says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Give to the church. And make sure that, most importantly, that you're ready for eternity. See, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes when I hear all the things going on and I think, Lord, I'm so tired of hearing about all that. I wish we could just come together and we could just worship. And I wish we could have revival in America. But are you praying for revival in America? I wish we could have leaders that would understand how important it is that we follow and trust and depend on the God that blessed us to have what we have. But are you praying for your leaders? When we look around at what's going on, the question, are we preparing? Are you witnessing? Do you know somebody that's lost? I want to tell you, now's the time to get them into the house of God. Because not everybody's going to heaven. I want to ask you to rise to your feet if God spoke to your heart. I want to give you an invitation to come, to make things right with God. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. More than you need anything else in this world, you need to be saved. Would you come as they sing? Well, I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm excited this morning. Two very dear people to me and my family, Ted and Dee Adamson, y'all step out here with us. They've come this morning seeking to be members of our church. Amen. Amen. Now, this is God's church. God's. But know these people and excited this morning. Can I get a move in a second that we accept them? Second, a third, and a fourth. All in favor, let it be named. Say an aye.
Aye.
Amen. Thank you all for coming this morning. Amen. Thank you for coming and being with us. Now, have you enjoyed these singers this morning?
Awesome message. Awesome message. You know, Mike, we have some CDs out there. Man, sure would help us if you take one. Brand new one has Just Another Hill on there. You didn't throw the play away. About everything we've done is out there. We also have some of I've been in gospel music 30 years. Tony has. Wesley has. And there's one called Individually. Anyway, you get the two, if you just want two CDs for $20. And then we have two DVDs of the classics and so on. Come by, we'll tell you all about it. But one thing I want to tell you, I don't know what you got planned next Saturday night, but in Villarica, Georgia, at Fullerville Baptist Church on Saturday night, is going to be the Together Again tour, which is going to be, I traveled 11 years with the Dixie Melody Boys, Ed O'Neill, which is a Southern Gospel Music Hall of Famer. I mean, he's true blue. I traveled for a long time. Anyway, the Dub Brothers are going to be there, and Ed O'Neill, the Dixie Melody Boys, and it's a donation at the door. Come, just, we'd love to have you. Tell your friends and family, help us pack the place, and we'll look to see you there. So thank you so much. Y'all been very kind. It starts at 6 o'clock.
Thank the Dove Brothers. Good singing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for these two that come join the church today. Father, we pray that we would be a blessing to them.